superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Now then, shall we?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Greg Williams looks across the way at Gruden. I can't just win on a prevent defense batting it down. I need to sack your quarterback and spike the football.
Ruggs has got it. Touchdown.
That's what that was. It wasn't a tank.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You look at effort first.
Today's guests. Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly. Saints quarterback Taysom Hill. Actor John Hamm. Raiders tight end Darren Waller. Plus from NBC's This Is Us. Chris Sullivan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California, here on this very, very busy day in the National Football League. Once again, we've still got a game going on, a week that is not ending. We've got a game that's going on tonight between the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys, and just to describe to the radio audience what's going on here in studio, I am, in fact, wearing a sweater that is no question plum. There's just no doubt about it. I'm your professor for the day.
There you go. Yeah.
I know
what
you're thinking.
In the library with the candlestick.
I am your professor for the day, I think I'm rocking it very well. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
What's happening,
Mike
man?
Del Tufo, good to see you
Rich.
Over there.
Rich, what are we reading today?
What do you mean, what are we reading today?
Well, oh, you're the professor.
With the microphone and the studio?
It's on the syllabus.
Very good. How are you, TJ Jefferson, sitting down in social media grandmaster?
I'm feeling great, Rich. Varsity's about to play tonight in all is well.
I just love
Varsity this. Is
what
on
a, what a Stephen A. Smith clickbait that is right there.
How about them Cowboys?
The Varsity.
Varsity.
The Varsity.
Put us on Tuesday. You know that's special.
I don't know how you could even call yourself the Varsity right
come
now.
Come on, man. Sucking.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, do it tomorrow.
I mean, as last place as you can get in the National Football.
Keep hope alive, baby.
Conference, Eastern Division, as last place as you can possibly be. Well, then, you know who's not in last place? You know what? We're all looking for great stories. My gosh, we're all looking for something to be happy about. Today, actually, our friends over in the UK started vaccinating for COVID-19. Went into the arms of actual human beings, the Pfizer vaccine. Second arm that it went into is a Brit, a chap named William Shakespeare. I mean, it's one of the, look, anything to bring a smile on your face. Why out, not? Damned COVID. Out, I say.
Alas, poor COVID.
So, look, you know, we're all looking for something to be happy about and something to enjoy and or escape. And then when we escape in the sports world, something to root for, something that makes us all, I guess, warm and fuzzy. It's the only way to describe it. And I know Steeler fans aren't too thrilled this morning. You don't want to be on the business end of a feel-good story when it means a loss. When it means a loss in a season where you had no losses and a team that's right behind you is the defending Super Bowl champs, looking mostly super. So I understand you're near the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't want to be the team that brings about the feel-good story. I understand that. Okay. But when the feel-good stories come from the same team that has been nothing short of a dumpster fire on and off the field, and it's a team that doesn't have a name, it's calling themselves the football team, and just look it up why. And this team wraps up its 13th week of the National Football League season with front line candidates for Defensive Rookie of the Year in Chase Young, Coach of the Year in Ron Rivera, and Comeback Player of the Year has been won, stamped, finito, in the books. There will be no claims of voter fraud. There will be no lawsuits. There will be no ifs, ands, or buts. Alex Smith is your Comeback Player of the Year. His leg shattered in pieces on FedEx Field. We know the story. I'll repeat it here anyway, because it is remarkable that this guy is upright, let alone active as a National Football League quarterback, let alone upright, active as a National Football League quarterback, and winning football games, and not just winning football games, but against stout opponents on the road with, on Thanksgiving Day, most of the country, the entire country watching. Most watched NFL game this year was the Thanksgiving game between the Washington Football Team and the Dallas Cowboys, and Alex Smith is winging it around. And yes, it's not pretty. First halves haven't been pretty over the last couple of games in particular. But again, like I said yesterday, I'm not seeing any pictures in the standings. As I said about the Giants yesterday, I'm not saying about the Washington Football Team today. And Alex Smith, you could say, has been coming back from a lot, which you rarely say about a first overall selection in the draft, but you do say that about that first overall selection in the draft when later on in that first round, it was Aaron Rodgers who was taken. And you do say that about a first overall drafted quarterback who eventually grooms his successor, gets ousted by his successor in Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, and then grooms his successor, who happens to be Patrick Mahomes, maybe the Michael Jordan of this sport when it's all said and done, when you look back on it. And now here he is again. Alex Smith will not be denied. It is amazing. 17 surgeries. Guy almost died of an infection. He just handed the Pittsburgh Steelers their first loss of the season, losing Antonio Gibson, his top running back, in the first quarter. One of his best receivers, we all know, is Terry McLaurin from the Ohio State, but his most effective and his most efficient and certainly his most scoring receiver these days is a converted quarterback from Virginia Tech, Logan Thomas. He's finding him to the tune of 9 receptions. J.D. McKissic, check it down to him. Doesn't matter how it's done, just do it. And then, of course, the defense turns over Ben at the end just when you think Roethlisberger might get the game tire with a kid coming off the practice squad, which is a reason why the Steelers didn't send out their practice squad kicker in the open end facing the confluence in Heinz Field yesterday. And Washington will take it. And the coach of the year candidate that I said, has there ever been a coach of the year candidate at 5-7, as I mentioned for Joe Judge yesterday? Have we ever seen 2 at 5-7? Because we do now have it. I mean, Ron Rivera, who's taken IVs at halftime earlier this season to hydrate because he was going through chemo. I mean, come on. I know, I never thought I would say these words, but the Washington Football Team is a feel-good story. I never thought I'd say Washington Football Team, but you could fill in what the football team used to be called. That's a feel-good story in Washington, D.C. right now, and rightfully so, one to root for. Ron Rivera is an outstanding coach, an outstanding human. Alex Smith is an outstanding human and a rebuilt quarterback who's winning football games. He just handed the Pittsburgh Steelers their first loss of the season. This entire year, we're talking about and how they might go undefeated the rest of the season. Who can beat them? And yes, Bud Dupree is out, and I understand that Devin Bush has been out, and they have their issues, and they were undefeated, and the first team to beat them is Alex Smith and a Washington Football Team. And you got 2 5-7 teams atop the NFC East that you can both place in this category of the proverbial teams you don't want to face. I mean, Washington's defense can shut you down in the air. They can shut your quarterback down. and they don't give up. They have no time for yak. Have you noticed how every receiver gets put on the ground right away?
No time for yak.
No time for yak. That's their album, No Time for Yak. Washington football team. Chase Young. The Chase Young Orchestra, No Time for Yak. They don't have it. Everybody gets put right on their ass as soon as they catch the ball. Yeah, man. I'm a fan of the Steelers and Tomlin and whatever. And you know what? The good news for Pittsburgh. The good news for Pittsburgh is that this is the loss you want to have, which is out of conference, which is why Kansas City is still the 2 seed this morning, even though they have the same record. Kansas City's one loss was to the Raiders in division, thus in conference. And Pittsburgh's one loss is now out of conference. So their in-conference record still has the 0 under the L column, which is better than the 1 that's under the L column for Kansas City. And there's more football to be played. So Pittsburgh is still in the 1 spot. Their problem, however, on the horizon is their next games against the Buffalo Bills. And I'll tell you what, man. That was Gruden. I just went full Gruden on you.
Tell you what, man.
I'll tell you what, man. About the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, baby.
I thought, as you know, the 49ers were a playoff team, that they were going to put their foot in the ground and continue on. Certainly after they looked the way they looked against the Rams here in Los Angeles, coming out of a bye, Richard Sherman's first game. I know Nick Mullins was a quarterback, but the way they looked against the L.A. Rams, who I think is a Super Bowl-worthy team, made me think that this team was going to rally around the fact that they're not home. They're in Arizona as the home team. And they came out last night and scored a touchdown after coming up with their own defensive goal line stand on Buffalo, marched right down the field, had it thrown right back at them by the Buffalo defensive line stand, but then a quick turnover by Zach Moss gave him a score to go up. And I thought, okay, this is San Francisco's night. It was Josh Allen's night. I think this is his best game as a pro. And I know he's thrown for 400 yards and he didn't last night, but he came close. He looked completely in command. He looked like one of those MVP quarterbacks on point that wasn't going to be denied. And you knew maybe right from the get-go that this was his night. You were not going to stop him. And you're going to lose. You've seen that from quarterbacks like Mahomes and Brady, obviously, throughout the years, and Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers was on point, and Russell Wilson when he's on point. Right? You saw it from Lamar Jackson last year. You've seen it throughout time with Andrew Luck when he was on point, right? I mean, you've seen it throughout the years, Philip, when he was on point. Drew Brees, obviously. Okay, this guy has shown up. He's not missing tonight. And he sees the defense, he sees the field with clarity. It's like the proverbial basketball rim, the size of the ocean, is what it looked like for Josh Allen last night. Cole Beasley was showing the offensive lineman Feliciano, who was rocking him to sleep like a baby, because Beasley had 100 yards catching in the first half. Stephon Diggs wasn't even the main receiver last night. Just cooking things up, all kinds of evil from the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, plugged directly into his quarterback, Josh Allen, who is not regressing. Mm-mm. No, sir, no regression out of Josh Allen. Threw it 40 times, not really what you want to have. As Ben threw it over 50 times yesterday. Usually you want to have somebody in the 25s to 30s, and you got the run game to support it. But last night, you know, it was all Josh Allen's night, and we were just paying rent. We were just paying rent for Josh Allen.
9-3.
And that was a punking of the 49ers and a very difficult loss for San Francisco, because you know, they're not out of it completely, because that 7th seed is occupied by a 6-6 team that hasn't been a world beater all year. And the Arizona Cardinals are the only team that's directly in front of them for that. They're just a game out, but they do have other 5-7 teams right next door to them in the Bears and the Lions. And whichever team is not in first place in the NFC East. And that's the better of all the 5-7 teams that are out there.
The G-Men.
Or the Washington football team.
Right now it's the Giants. They win the tiebreak over Washington based on head-to-head winning percentage.
Yeah, they swept them. They took all 2 games. Washington's taken all 2 games from Dallas, which goes against the Ravens tonight. Big game that we'll talk about on this show. But the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams early on in the season. I'm like, this is a team that could beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I did go higher register. You know, it's the team that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley, and the run game concerns me. It does. I don't even know if Devin Singletary is a single touchdown this year. I know Zach Moss has been the guy inside the 10.
Yeah, he fumbled last
night. And he fumbled coming out of his own end zone, and you didn't see him. He was like Paulie from The Godfather. Well, you won't see him no more. He was all Singletary for much of the night. And then Moss came in for his first carries. He was on like third and short, brought up a fourth down. At any rate, it really worked for the Buffalo Bills for the entire night. That one was, for me, you know, a surprising result from San Francisco, and I'm concerned about them because they're still on the road at home, and their next game, just like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh moves on. It's got to face Buffalo. Guess who's up next for the San Francisco 49ers? Yep. That's the Washington football team coming in. You do not want to face the top two teams in the NFC East, and if only that was something you could say about tonight's road team. And, hey, tonight's road team has the pieces. How many times? I think we're going to die on this hill. We might actually die on this vine. Like, hey, that's Amari Cooper, and that's Zeke right over there, and that's Gallup, that's CeeDee Lamb. Andy Dalton's no slouch. We might literally die on that football hill. Like of starvation of wins, you know, or if the Dallas Cowboys were like vitamin C, it would be scurvy. You know, we can't get it. We could see it. It's right
there. Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
There you go.
You won't get scurvy.
Now Ravens need it tonight. The way the Browns are playing.
Big time.
Oh yeah. And the way that the Dolphins look. Colts look, the way that the Raiders look when you're sending, and that was one thing I couldn't believe last night at the end of the game when Big Ben had an opportunity to maybe put one up and throw a Hail Mary, and the fact that Washington didn't blitz, that Jack Del Rio didn't blitz up eight men at him was just like, why wouldn't you do that? What a great idea.
Because they were trying to win the game, maybe?
Darren Waller, who had 200 yards receiving in that Raiders win, that was... the win that still is reverberating throughout the National Football League because it led to a defensive coordinator's firing. And it kept the Jets intact for their race for Trevor Lawrence. Darren Waller will join us on this show. And the guy who's next going to have to coach against Trevor Lawrence is our first guest joining us in about 20-some-odd minutes' time. That's Brian Kelly of Mike Del Tufo's Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Finishing off his third undefeated regular season of his 11 years as HC at ND. Then Taysom Hill, Taysom of this, is going to be joining us.
All right.
Quarterback du jour of the top-seeded New Orleans Saints. Getting set to take on maybe Jalen Hurts. Who'd have thought coming into the season that Philadelphia at New Orleans could be Jalen Hurts at Taysom Hill? But that is entirely in the football ether as we talk. The handsome John Hamm will be right after Taysom Hill. And then after Darren Waller in hour number three, Chris Sullivan of This Is Us. He's got a new album out, though, as he is the front man known as Joseph the Spouse, the debut album 6 Feet from Under. Chris Sullivan from This Is Us will be on this program. This is, quite frankly, one of those shows where we had a bunch of asks out.
Right.
And they all said yes.
They all said yes.
And we're like, okay. There's lots to talk about,
but
we'll still have conversations at 844-204-RICH. When we come back, a new look Four Downs. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What do you see and hear the fourth down hot take?
Whoa.
That's coming up on The Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Okay, we're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, about a minute away from our radio audience rejoining us. The Mightier 1090 is our home on radio, and they will be coming back very shortly right here in Southern California. Sirius XM, Channel 211, where we're on. Big news in the Sirius XM front.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, you know, NBC Sports Audio renaming the Channel 211 is big news. King of All Media is re-signed.
He's up in it.
5 years. Buck 20.
Dude, he was the rage when I was like 12, 13.
Yeah.
Like he was just the new guy who was on after Imus on WNBC. Who was just saying anything and all things about Imus even too. And it was, the movie Private Parts was exactly the way it was.
Dead on.
That movie is so good.
You know, Paul Giamatti's debut, basically.
Pretty much.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience rejoining us, talking about Howard Stern, the King of All Media, has re-signed with SiriusXM. How many years is that in radio for him? Is it like 40? I'm serious.
It's coming close.
Is it coming close?
Probably more. He started 1980.
In the world of like...
Like a national prominence or whatever.
Yeah. All right, hold on.
I remember when he said, I'm going to satellite radio, and everyone's like, okay,
you're done.
What a bummer. I'm never going to hear him again, and you'll never hear from him again. And, not so much, huh? And I will say this, man.
So 86, he hit syndication.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's when I graduated high school. Yeah. That's when I graduated. I'm a 51-year-old man. That's when I graduated high school.
So he joined WNBC in New York in 82.
82.
That's right.
I was bar mitzvahed in 1982. Yes, sir.
That's when they went talk radio. That's when
Don, you don't have to show the photograph of me from 1982, okay? I know you've got it ready in your shoot somewhere.
WNBC.
So he did a three-year run, got fired in 85, and then hired back in 86.
Yeah, because
he was dynamite. And then hit syndication 60 markets.
He just destroyed people when he was on the radio in New York. Like, I mean,
there were no sacred cows, and everybody ate it up for good reason. For good reason.
He would.
And I will say this too. He is, and this is why it's great that he still wants to do it and still does it. And I have no problem saying this. I'm envious, not of his fame and, you know, obviously his fortune, but he is the only interviewer in the business where everyone who sits down knows every question is on the table. You know, no PR person can say, well
you know, Howard, this.
Sit down, but just every question's on the table, and they have to answer truthfully, and that's it. And I don't know what interviewer has that gateway to celebrities. And notable names.
Oprah is the only one I can really think
of.
Yeah,
but Oprah doesn't also in places where Howard goes,
sure,
too.
No, sure. You cry on Oprah.
Sure. Well, you could cry on Howard, too.
You cry on Howard, too, but you cry on Oprah when you go there.
It's amazing.
She tells
just us. Just amazing, and it's great that he's he wants to still do it. I mean, trust me, he could just sit around and do nothing the rest of his life.
He's 66.
WNBC.
I mean.
That was, by the way...
Him and Imus.
That was the number on the dial was 660.
Right.
That became WFAN.
Yeah.
In New York.
Because that's what, like, they were playing music up until that point. BC. He came in.
Yeah, they were playing records.
They played records. And that was when the AM,
God, unbelievable.
ABC and NBC went talk.
Okay. News that's breaking right now. Again, Brian Kelly of Notre Dame is going to be joining us. My alma mater, Jim Harbaugh, was supposed to speak at noon today in Ann Arbor to talk about, you know, is Michigan playing Ohio State this weekend? Is there any news on this front? That Michigan been cleared to practice again? And what is going on with his contract extension? And there's lots to talk about with my coach. And there was supposed to be a noon press conference today that was postponed, canceled. I mean, it's a lot going on. And the Ohio State is waiting to see if there's a game, right? Am I off on any of this?
You're not. So according to Bob Wojnarowski.
He was of the Detroit News.
Yeah. So he tweeted out.
He was, by the way, around when I was at the lunch table with Bo. Like, Bob was there. When I was at the Michigan Daily, Bob was covering the team.
So his tweet earlier, about an hour ago, Michigan canceled the presser today. Despite optimism in some circles, the game remains in serious jeopardy. people might be reading the wrong tea leaves. Don't forget who Michigan's president is. He bent once playing amid COVID. Not sure he'll bend.
Yeah, that's what I said. And again, to, you know, my fellow Michigan Wolverines who are like, Jim can't win this game. Jim can't win that game. Get him the hell out of there. I mean, there is a signing period coming up, right? A December recruiting period that's coming up. And recruits need to know, is coach going to be around or not? Which is why with 1 year left on his contract, you know, you got to extend him. And I'm hearing it was a short-term contract extension that's been put in front of Jim Harbaugh that is not the same financial terms as his current contract with a lot of incentives built in, and he's got a decision to make. And there's no NFL team that's going to be calling right now to say, we'll hire you.
Yeah, this was a press conference originally scheduled for yesterday, right, postponed to today.
Right, and so the school president, canceled. President Schlissel, will not sit here and go, well, you haven't beaten Ohio State yet, and you haven't beaten Michigan State two times in a row in a while, so you're out. Now, he's the type of guy who's like, okay, I see what you're doing in terms of graduation rates. I could see that my phone doesn't ring in the middle of the night about this player or that player and money under the table and stuff like that, and you've won more than you've lost, and you're our guy, so let's put a contract on the table for him. I would not be surprised if he's extended. You know, so there's a lot of questions that's going on right now. I'll be honest with you. I would like answered, and I'm getting texts from alums, players who used to play for the school. Like, what do you know? What are you hearing? There's a lot of scuttlebutt happening right now. And I'll tell you this, if Ohio State doesn't have the requisite number of games because of this with Michigan, then change the freaking rule. You know, I mean,
right.
And I, once again, you know, we've got Brian Kelly coming on in 13 minutes time, and I'll ask him about, you know, I would imagine a coach whose team is ranked second in the college football playoff standings now, part of him would be like, why would we expand the playoffs now when the rules have been such and such throughout? Don't change it throughout. Maybe on the other hand, you know, as a guy who is undefeated, and if he loses to Trevor Lawrence and Clemson, which is no shame, he could be out. And Texas A&M in, or Florida in, or, you know, Cincinnati's undefeated, and Cincinnati just had its game against Tulsa canceled due to COVID. I say again, why are we forcing Cincinnati to maybe be on the run and try and face somebody best they can to try and impress a committee that might bounce Notre Dame after an undefeated season, its first foray through the ACC because they lose to Clemson, or bounce Clemson because they lost twice to Notre Dame, even though Clemson is, I think, clearly one of the top four teams in the country. Just expand it to eight. Just do it. Just do it. Do it. And what people say, people will basically say when we're watching 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, and 4 versus 5. You know what? Yeah, I mean, that whole thing about the regular season, you changed it up at the end. I'm not really into this. I don't think that's really a winner. Really? Come on. You wouldn't want to see Coastal Carolina versus Alabama, just even for the first quarter. Cincinnati versus whoever wins between Notre Dame and Clemson, whoever loses still makes it, along with Ohio State.
Why wouldn't you want to watch Florida play?
Texas A&M and
Trask
Florida.
Kid,
right,
is probably going to win the Heisman Trophy. He's going to be a first-round pick in April. Like, let's go. This is a case where more is better. Usually less is more. This is a case more.
Right.
Let's go.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll bring it up to Brian Kelly, you know, in 10 minutes. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial today on the Rich Eisen Show. Are you ready for a fresh look, four downs right here?
Fresh look? What does that mean?
You have no idea, do you?
I have no clue.
Fantastic.
But you've been teasing this hot take, so I'm kind of excited.
It's a good, it's a very good hot take and worthy of the new look. Hit it, please.
Hut. Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
Okay, here we go. Week 13 edition of Four Downs. Three
first
takes.
Down.
One hot take is my fourth down. First down, New Orleans Saints, we all know. Drew Brees, he's got pretty much every quarterback record there is.
Yep,
Sean Payton,
absolutely.
Mastermind on offense. Taysom Hill, who's joining us here on the program. First two career passing touchdowns. Michael Thomas, fresh off of catching every football last year, had 100 receiving yards this past week. Alvin Kamara is dynamite, 100% owned in fantasy football. Totally understand it. The reason why the Saints are the one seed, my first down, is because of it and their defense. That is it. I'll tell you, folks, we're focused on the offense, but the Saints' identity is on the defensive side of the football. They are giving up 20.1 points per game. That ranks fourth in the National Football League. The only defense is better in that regard. Pittsburgh, Miami, and the Ravens. And the Rams, whose defense we lionize, if you will, right behind this Saints team that is also number one in the league in yards per game given up, 288 yards per game given up. Only other team yielding less than 300 yards per game is the aforementioned Rams, 76 point yards per game given up on the ground. That's number two in the league. Only Tampa's defense is better. 19 takeaways. Only three other teams have more than this defense, which has been balling out and is the reason why the Saints are the number one seed in the NFC. Kansas City is right around the corner. I cannot wait for that game, especially since that is the game where we're all assuming Drew Brees gets back in. Again, Taysom Hill joining us at the top of hour number two. Second down.
Second down.
Okay, second down right here on our program. And, you know, the seventh seed in the AFC is going to let in a team that we think is playoff worthy, right? And the seventh seed in the NFC is going to let in a team that might not be normally in another year. The Minnesota Vikings are here to prove that the seventh seed is worthy.
Ooh.
Because this is a team that went from 1-5 to 6-6. So they died and they're going to seventh seed heaven in the history of the NFL. In the Super Bowl era, okay, only three teams have gone from 1-5 to the playoffs. Didn't need that seventh seed. They actually used the sixth seed that was available to them. Or in the case of the 1970 Bengals, they won the division going from 1-5 to 8-6 and did not win. They got one and done by the Baltimore Colts in 1970. If you remember, the 2015 Chiefs were 1-5 and then didn't lose the rest of the regular season and then went into Houston and beat Houston and won an actual playoff game. From 1-5 to winning a playoff game, they lost the division round. And the Colts 2 years ago went from 1-5, made the wild card at 10-6, and yes, went into Houston and won and done the Houston Texans. It was the last win of Andrew Luck's career, by the way. So the seventh seed is actually going to help a team make the playoffs this year that normally would not. And I'm telling you, I think the Minnesota Vikings have a shot to actually go into the playoffs and make some hay, as 1-5 teams have already proven. It's very rare. The seventh seed is going to give 1-5 teams a chance from now on. We can't look at a 1-5 team and say you're dead because of the seventh seed. We're seeing that right now. Third down.
Third down.
This week 14 for the AFC playoff race is going to be, as our the host of the show that precedes us on Sirius XM and NBC Sports on Peacock, the Week 14 playoff picture in the AFC is going to be en fuego. You've got the number one Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the number three Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football. You've got the number two Kansas City Chiefs taking on the number six Miami Dolphins early window on Sunday. You've got the Colts and the Raiders late window on Sunday. That's 7-8 right now. Colts are your seventh seed in the wild card. Raiders are leading the sniffing category at 8. And Monday Night Football, your current 9-seeded Ravens taking on the 5th-seeded Browns. Woo. In Cleveland. You basically have from 1-8, every team is facing each other with the exception of the 5th-seeded Tennessee Titans who are at Jacksonville. And a 10-seeded 6-6 New England Patriots kicked this whole Week 14 off in 2 days against the Rams. The AFC playoff picture in Week 14 is virtually every chess piece thrown up in the air and landing, and we'll see how it lands. I cannot wait for Week 14 in the AFC playoff picture. Fourth down.
All right.
Now
I'm
then.
I'm telling you.
Normally, this is where I get up.
Yeah.
I'm not getting up
right now.
Oh! Whoa.
Our buddy Tom Person of Cedar Spills.
Okay.
.com, okay? Cedar Spills in Louisville, Kentucky. Tom Person, one of our best friends and fans of this show, right? He makes all sorts of, one would say, I don't want to call them trinkets. He makes all sorts of I guess, pieces of mementos for us.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
Out of wood and out of
coasters
cloth and coasters.
And paddles, all kinds of crazy fun stuff.
Odds and ends. Here you go. Here's a coaster he's made right for us
yeah,
here.
Yeah, amazing. Oh,
you're holding up, TJ, you're holding up the paddle that he made? Yeah, you made those peacock paddles for us. Well, again, he is all about cedar, wood, okay? He doesn't want pine anymore. So, fourth down.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Are you doing what I think you're about to do? Did he make a special hot take plank? No way.
Here it is. The new hot take plank. The top of it is, in fact, a cutout of my head. There you go. It's a new hot take plank. He was sick of the old one. He sent a new one. So, I am going to honor Tom Persons.
You're
going to
put the mask on.
Tom Person. I'm going to honor Tom right here with a hot take worthy of the new hot take plank.
I love it.
The 5-7 Giants are the proverbial team you don't want to face, right?
Oh.
The Washington football team is a proverbial 5-7 team you don't want to face, right?
No.
The NFC East will not have just one, but two teams making the playoffs in 2020.
We talking playoffs?
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God.
Whoever does
so
not
hot.
Whoever does not win the NFC East will be good enough to be the seventh seed.
Oh,
they're just one game out. We're just one game out of that seventh seed right now. And you do not want to face that seventh seed if you are the second seed in the NFC playoffs. I'm not going to go as far as that they're going to win at least a game. But two out of the NFC least, where nobody's laughing about it anymore, are going to make the playoffs. That's my fourth down hot take with the new hot take plank.
That is,
I mean,
straight from Louisville,
so
Kentucky.
So hot. Wow. So right now, Washington.
Look at those standings.
I'm looking. Washington is 12th, okay?
Yeah, but whatever. They're out of the 49ers, Lions, and Bears. Who's the better of the 5-7 teams?
Even Cardinals. They're better, probably better than Arizona right now.
And the Vikings.
But they don't have any tie breaks. That's the problem.
Well.
Washington.
Guess what? They might have a better record than sir.
It might be.
That's my fourth down hot take.
That is just.
I don't think I'm too far off.
Smoking gun.
Let's take a break so we're on time for Coach Kelly of Notre Dame. We are five wide. We got a lot of guests coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show here on this busy Tuesday, taking you to tonight's Tuesday night finale of Week 13. Ravens and Cowboys, we'll talk about that. But we'll talk college with Brian Kelly next.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats. Hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. Okay, RichEisenStore.com. We're selling. Oh, by the way, we're getting black masks.
Nice.
For our, wait. That was, we, you know what? We hear you. We hear people are like, you know what? I'll take one of those, in, not white, but black, if you can make them. And we are. So go to RichEisenStore.com right now and get all your stuff. And we're going to, TJ, I'm going to figure out how to get you free stuff. Okay, man?
Okay,
just, I mean, he's raising his hand. It's all stuff. Like, I mean, honestly.
No, make him
TJ. Make him pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
TJ, as a king of swag. You always got
to.
And
it goes
ask.
Into the budget. I mean, it goes back in his pocket in a way. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fault me for asking these things.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mightier 1090, Sirius XM Channel 211, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, as well as NBC Sports on Peacock. Pleased to have here the head coach of Notre Dame football, ranked second in the college football playoffs, getting set to take on Clemson in a couple of Saturdays. For the ACC championship, Brian Kelly, fresh off of his third undefeated regular season as Notre Dame football coach. How are you, sir?
Good, Rich. How you doing?
I'm better.
Yes. You don't have any of those masks in green, do you?
You know what? I can order special order. I can special order one if you wear it and you put it out there on the old social media. You know. There may be an I in Rich and Eisen, but I'm willing to share, Coach.
I know you are. I know you are.
Thank you. Hey, when we had you on in the summer, and you were saying basically, I don't even have a protocols that I can tell my kids' parents about just yet, and we're trying to figure out whether we is so unknown when we spoke over the summer. If I had told you then that we would be speaking second week of December, you were 10-0, fresh off of an undefeated season through your first full ACC campaign as you had to do to play, you'd have said what to me?
I'll take two of those.
I bet.
Yeah, certainly this has been a long road and one that certainly there was no blueprint for it. So, you know, my line has been, you know, we're building the plane as we fly it. And that's really, you know, how we've developed this and in terms of, you know, putting the procedures and protocol in place and certainly following, you know, whatever the national standards have been, because they haven't been clear at times. But we've got incredible people here at the university, and the medical people have guided us along the way. But as you know, Rich, this is about the resolve and the commitment of the student athlete and how bad they wanted to play. That's what's made this work.
Yeah, and I guess, so how do you balance everything knowing that they also want to be college students too? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it that's the question that you have to ask them, and that's what I did before they even came to campus and said, look, guys, this is not going to be anything like you're used to. You're going to have to sacrifice way more than you've ever. It's just not going to work under the current conditions. So if your priority is to continue to work towards getting your degree and playing for a championship, then this is going to work out. If not, you should opt out and not play. And so I think the transparency at the very beginning was very important in this process.
Brian Kelly here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the road ahead here and Clemson, this ACC championship game. Let's just say, okay, for all intents and purposes, you don't win this game. And I'm just going to throw that out there. Do you still think you deserve to be in the Final Four, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not my decision to make, but our body of work is pretty good. I mean, you know, we would have beaten the number one team in the country. Who knows how North Carolina is going to finish against Miami. 10-1, probably, if we're making an assumption, losing right to Clemson, that's number four in the country. I think that's a pretty good body of work. It'll put us right there in terms of, you know, making a decision. So, yeah, I would say that, you know, as long as we're competitive and playing at the level that we've played at all year, yeah, we probably should be one of the four teams.
So what if you beat Clemson and Clemson has two losses and you know obviously how stout they are, you know how good Trevor Lawrence is, do you think Clemson should get in? You know,
well, then you're gonna have to start comparing, you know, the two loss teams against the single loss teams, and so that becomes a whole lot different, you know, when you're talking about two losses versus a single loss team. So Or an undefeated team like, you know, Cincinnati, for example. So I think that gets a little bit more complicated than maybe our situation. That's why it was so important for us to go undefeated, and which we did. And now we don't control our own destiny. We still have to win, but it puts us in a better situation.
What about a team that's played half the games you have? You know, how would you feel that you do go through this crucible of a season with 11 wins, beating Clemson twice, two different quarterbacks for the Clemson Tigers, and a team that has almost half as many games played as you do gets in, and you face them? What about that idea?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I believe. It matters what the committee believes.
No, I mean, I would call you an influencer, Coach.
Okay,
at the very
least. I will tell you what I believe. Yes. I believe as a football coach that 10 or 11 games is a lot different than 5 or 6 games, because you're dealing with injuries, you're dealing with the psyche of a football team, you're dealing with COVID for another 5 or 6 weeks, the discipline of your football team over that period of time. I think it makes a difference. And if you're just saying, hey, it's all about the eye test and what that team looks like in a vacuum, then it doesn't matter to them. But as a football coach and somebody that understands all of the nuances of putting a football team on the practice field and having to – handle things in the training room and COVID, then I think playing 11 games versus 5 or 6 absolutely matters.
Brian Kelly here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you're a perfect guy to ask this question to because, again, you have played 10 games. You've won 10 games. Coastal Carolina is the only other program that is currently 10-0 as we're sitting here right now. And so you have gone through the most abnormal of seasons with the most, what looks like, just looking at a schedule and seeing it, the most normal-looking schedule you can possibly have, right?
Yeah.
But so because it is an abnormal season, though,
sure.
The concept of maybe adding more teams, changing the playoff system the way that Major League Baseball did, the way that NBA and the NHL bubbled up but did have a different construct in how people could qualify for the playoffs. What about the idea that maybe if it is brought about because of the way everything is going with the virus, adding more teams, would you have an issue with that as somebody who has played as much as you have?
No, I don't think that ever was really a concern of mine. If they had decided to expand the field because of the uniqueness of the season and some teams not being able to, play as many games, I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what for me was a bit of a stumbling block is what I kind of addressed in your question relative to, 10 or 11 games versus, 5 or 6 games. But it seems like the committee has already addressed that, and that's not an issue with them. And that's fine. That's their call. I don't make those decisions. I got to coach a football team. But
right.
I think that, from expansion and if they wanted to do those things, I never really had an issue with that.
Well, I'm just sitting here looking again at a program like Coastal Carolina, a program like Cincinnati, and just seeing how they are trying their hearts out to get the games in, and they haven't lost.
I know.
And then I would love to see them. I would love to see them against your team that should not be penalized because you've lost to Clemson late in this. You know what I mean? Like normally in regular seasons, yeah, you lost late. Sorry, you're out. But this is not a normal season. Right. And other teams like Ohio State, clearly they want to play Michigan this week, but they might not be able to. And we shouldn't hold that against that, too. That's why I'm saying maybe just expand it. And let's see what it looks like with 8 teams. Like right now, do
Look,
that.
Look, you and I have been in this business a long time.
Yes.
This is my 31st year being a head coach. You've been in it longer than most. And it makes sense to both of us. But for those guys that make the decision,
right.
It doesn't seem to make sense to them. And I don't know why. You can't even go to the Rose Bowl and watch the game. And we're going to play there. Why not expand it and give these other teams in this unique year an opportunity? So
right.
I think you and I are on the same page. I don't know that everybody else is that makes these decisions.
Brian Kelly here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is this a one-off Notre Dame in the ACC? I mean, or do you think this season might lead to a relationship from here on
well,
out.
There is, that we've got a relationship with him. We're so
right.
thankful that Commissioner Swofford gave us this opportunity, or we would have been in a very difficult situation, right? We'd have been trying to put together a schedule in a similar fashion that,
mm-hmm.
that maybe BYU had to, which was very difficult for them. So, and all of our other sports, as you know, are in the ACC. So we've had this relationship with them, and it certainly will continue. There's no plan to go into the league full time, but clearly if we're in the current situation that we're in next year, we want to be able to continue this relationship and keep the options open.
So you're in your 11th season there, Coach.
My goodness.
Right? I mean, it has been, you've been there longer than many coaches in the history of Notre Dame football.
I have a plaque. They gave me a plaque at 10 years.
Is that what you get for 10 years?
I did. It's actually pretty, it's sitting on my desk. It's a paperweight. Listen, not a lot of people get these paperweights, Rich.
No, I would think that's something you hang on the wall.
It could.
What do you get for 12 years? Do you get something for 12 years?
I hope I make it to 12.
Oh, stop.
Listen, I try to get through the year. This is a year-to-year gig here at Notre Dame, if you didn't know that.
Oh, come on. You're doing very, let's put it this way. You're doing very well. You're doing very well. You've got a passionate fan base, including my sound engineer from New Jersey, who claims your school, because I guess couldn't claim Rutgers, right? You didn't go to Notre Dame, right?
My sister and my nephew went there. Come on.
All right. you know.
I saw Montana play. I'm a Notre Dame fan.
But you
BK knows.
Do you realize, though, Coach, do you know how long Newt Rockne was there? Do you know that?
I think he was 13.
13, yeah.
13, yeah.
Yes, and so that's the longest tenured coach. You're closing in.
Hopefully, I can make it a couple more years.
Oh gosh! But I mean, is this a? Do you want to stay? I mean, and
yeah, this is okay. You know, for me, you know, having, you know, seen clearly, you know, the development of this program and over the years to get it to where it is. You know, I want to continue to, you know, bring this program to the consistency, you know, of playing for championships and be part of the discussion every year. When it comes to college football, I want Notre Dame to be part of that, and I want to be that guy that continues to do that.
Okay, well, when you make it to 13th year, Coach, okay?
Yeah. I'll get back on the show?
No, not at all. No, here's what I'll do for you, or at least I'll offer it, because, you know, I know you like breaking trends and setting trends. I will personally come to Notre Dame and give you a bar mitzvah. I'll be in charge of your bar mitzvah, your 13th year, when you become officially a man. For Notre Dame. I'll do it.
I love it. And I will take you up on that.
Because I'm assuming there's no one on campus to do that for you. I'll just come.
Am I wrong? Yeah, we would probably struggle a little bit there.
There's no depth chart there, I don't think, on that front.
We're
so.
A little thin.
All right, Coach, take care. We'll chat down the line. You got
it. All right, take care. Bye.
Yeah, that's Brian Kelly, everybody. What do you think?
Could do it at the Grotto, Rich. It'd be a perfect spot.
What are you talking about?
The Grotto at Notre Dame, very famous.
I'm sorry,
spot.
When you use that phrase here in Los Angeles, it's
like, wait, what?
Very, very famous place.
Okay, very good.
The Grotto.
Okay.
Brian Kelly, 137 at Notre Dame, 5 wins shy of Newt Rockne.
How about that?
Oh, go BK. I love Brian.
How about that? That's what they thought. That's what they dreamt of when they changed gears from Charlie Weiss. That's how long it's been. Charlie Weiss was his predecessor. 11 years.
Only Lou Holtz has 100 wins. He's 132.
But when you win at Notre Dame like that, that's when people start, you know, sitting there in New York City and saying, maybe when he's coaching against Trevor Lawrence in the ACC championship game, maybe he wants to coach Trevor Lawrence here and not change colors. That's when the rumors start, you know?
You would have to change colors.
So, Rich, are you a Moyle now? Is that?
No, that's a Briss, sir.
That's right. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Stick around. I'll teach you the ropes.
Like
no.
L'chaim.
Totally different. Totally different situation. But, I mean, honestly, if it's been a long time since anybody's had 13 seasons at Notre Dame. Newt Rockne is the record holder. And
I mean, if
he makes it to 13, I will go to campus, you know, where clearly, obviously, the pandemic will be behind us then.
Knock on wood.
And I will perform, even though I have no rights to do this. I am Jewish.
You can get certified online, Rich.
I can get coached up quickly enough to deliver whatever needs to be done.
Can I light a candle on the cake?
You can come and do that, yes.
I can do that. Thank you, Rich.
Well, it's up to Brian. I mean, it's his bar mitzvah. I'm just officiating.
I did that a couple times.
You've lit candles at bar mitzvahs, huh?
Rich.
Okay, great.
He's done it all.
So you've done it all. You've done it all.
Baruch atah Adonai.
And he's also wrapped a police car around a tree.
Yeah,
jeez.
True.
John Hamm is going to be joining us next hour, but Taysom Hill of the Saints is next. I mean, we're all over the map, right? We just talked about bar mitzvahing a coach of a Catholic school and a Mormon's coming up. I mean, we are everywhere right now, right?
Wait, Taysom Hill's Mormon?
Dude, he went to BYU. Are you serious?
I mean, I didn't.
Went to BYU?
Sorry, I'm not up on my Taysom Hill trivia.
Well, look, you could do the math. When a guy goes to BYU and he's in his fourth year in the NFL at age 30,
I mean, okay,
he is a Mormon who has been on a mission. The Taysom Hill story,
He's from Idaho.
He's from Pocatello. Stanford recruited him. Harbaugh recruited him to Stanford. But when he showed up after his mission and he couldn't apparently join the school until June, he's like, that's too late for me. And he wound up getting a whole host of other options and he went to BYU. So you could do the math.
There you go.
Again, it's my fourth year out of BYU. I'm 30. That individual, I believe, is a Mormon.
or played minor league baseball for a few years.
Yeah, he has not done that.
No, he hasn't done that.
He's not done that. From the great state of Idaho, now the pride of New Orleans, Louisiana, Taysom Hill of the New Orleans Saints getting ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and then John Hamm will be joining us as well. Fun second hour on the other side.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.